All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It is a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and we are on the road from AT&T Stadium in the Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth, etc. area.
There's like four names. There's like four cities.
Yeah, AJ was telling us a little geography lesson about just all the cities, the connectors, the tendencies country versus western. But we are here in Dallas getting ready for the big fight on Saturday night, the Spence Jr. Garcia matchup on pay-per-view. And as part of that, being on Radio Row, we look forward to bringing you the next 3 hours of some pretty compelling radio, getting into your Rockets and some other things, as well as some of the things going on here, getting ready for the fight Saturday night. Nick is in. Barry is out.
Nice setup, too. Really nice here.
The stadium is monstrous.
I've never been to the new stadium, so this is definitely a first. It's very, the lights are dim. It's very, I feel out of place because it just seems too fancy for me.
You felt like you were at the Grapevine again? Or?
Oh, God. Don't get me started on that.
Oh, I
do
need
not
to get
me started
yes,
on that.
Yes.
So when we landed at 11 o'clock, I didn't think we'd have time to go anywhere in Dallas, considering it's not Vegas where we're normally at, and you can basically drink anytime you want.
Right.
Bars close at 2 around
right.
here. So we went to, what was it, the lobby bar, I guess, or the bar in the lobby at the Renaissance. Some people call it.
We'll get to that.
Renaissance.
Renaissance. Yes, we'll get to the Renaissance.
So we go there. We have a couple of shots. And then Fred asks the bartender for a local bar that's nearby so we don't have to drive
still
too
open.
Far. That's
right.
Still open. And this is about 12, maybe 11:45-ish.
No, it was after midnight.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because we didn't get there till like 1.
Yeah, last call was 12:30. So we were looking at the last hour and a half rush.
Yeah.
To make sure we capitalized. Oh boy, did we.
So the bartender seemed pretty nice. He's like, well, you can go to the Hilton, which is not too far, or you can go to this place called the Grapevine, which is not too far. So we look up the Grapevine. It's 2 miles away. We're like, all right, that's our pick. We'll go. But he sold us on the Grapevine. He told us to go to the Grapevine. Little did we know that the Grapevine was a gay bar. We had no clue.
Well, and let's not skip details. So we get our Uber driver, and we go to get in the car, and we're making sure we know who's doing what. She has clearly identified her name on the email, and you get in and say, Laverne.
Look, I didn't know her name was Laverne. I did not know.
You have never heard the name Laverne?
No.
Needless to say, she was not pleased with you calling her Laverne.
No, she was cool. She didn't get too upset. You guys, she didn't even correct me. You guys corrected
but
me.
But here's the thing. The kicker is she couldn't get mad at you calling her Laverne.
Because I was paying her.
When she said that she picked us up from the Renaissance.
Yeah.
So at that point, all bets are off. You call it a wash, and you continue to go. So we end up at a small dive bar in the middle of nowhere. But we're like, okay, cool. You know what? Probably, you know, easy service. And we can just kick back for a little bit before we head back to the hotel. I was the first one to tap you guys on the shoulder and go, you guys notice a pattern here in terms of the people, the patrons?
I had no clue. You were definitely the first one to notice.
We thought there was a couple in front of us. It turned out to be Katie Lang and her accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lookalike somewhere there above and or beyond. And the bonus was, as we were scouting out the place and you guys were ordering drinks, I wandered around just to see how big is this place? What's going on? There was an outdoor beer garden, per se, but the beauty of it was there was a basketball hoop. And there were signs posted all over that said, play at your own risk, not responsible for injury. We're like, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
On a basketball court where the concrete was absolutely shot.
Uneven.
I mean, not level at all.
Nope. Neither was the rim.
Neither was the rim. And a bunch of drunk people just shooting this, like, rubbery ball that wasn't even a basketball.
Old, worn-out basketballs, et cetera. But, boy, there were people that wanted some game.
Oh, they did. And nothing was better than witnessing Fred Fowler's behavior at this particular bar.
Yeah, that is something that has to come up. Forget the basketball aspect for a second. Now, I want the record to show clearly that I partook with you guys.
You did. You did. I did a shot
with you guys.
I offered you a shot at the lobby bar, and you rejected it. You denied it. Yep. But when we got to the dive bar, yep, I convinced you to take a shot of whiskey with me,
indeed,
AJ, and Fred.
And it was not small.
It was not. Now, all of us probably could have used that shot except for Fred. Fred was the one person that did not need to take that shot.
So here's where it gets really interesting. Because, one, they run out of whiskey as they're pouring the shots for us, okay? So the bartender says, I've got to go out back, and I'm going to get another bottle, and I'll be right back. So we're like, all right, cool. So you patiently volunteered to wait. You get the extra shot. Fred had been in the back doing whatever. He came back from outside. And we were like, Fred, we already did our shot, but we're waiting for you. And he was like, oh, no problem. Just give it to me.
So I give him the shot. And when he attempts to take the shot, the first, like, part of it, like, the first, like, 20% of the shot, because it was a big shot.
Yeah.
Completely missed his mouth, and it just fell all over his shirt.
To explain clearly, as I was describing it with you guys this morning, instead of finding the bottom lip of the glass to make sure that the liquid found your mouth, he found the upper. Remember we were talking about how you get rid of the hiccups and you get the top part of the glass and you drink it upside down?
Yep.
He didn't do the upside down part, but he just got the top rim of the glass, to which half of the shot was distributed from his chin to his nipples.
And that's when I proceeded to say, okay, Fred, that's your last shot. As he was taking the second half of the shot, he just projects all this whiskey all over my face and all over my shirt. I've never had alcohol spat at me like the way Fred Fowler did yesterday. It was all over me.
To sum it up, I was in absolute amazement because he found the second half of the shot in his pie hole. And we both looked at him like, Fred, are you okay? And like a Nolan Ryan fastball of spit, it came flying into your sternum, your neck, your face. And I just, my jaw fell. I was like, what the hell just happened? And we both were like, Fred, are you okay? And
yeah, I'm all right.
Thank God there was a couch.
Yeah.
Right, very in near proximity where we were. He just kind of plunged into the couch and had a conversation with himself while Nick and I both proceeded to get to the bar as quickly as possible to try and get him some hydration and some water. And it just went from there. Because then Fred became Basketball Jones.
Yeah.
And he wanted to hit out on the playground and show his wares, in which AJ threw him three laser chest passes, two of which ripped off each of his nipples, and the other one grazed right off of his temple.
Fred couldn't stand, and AJ's like beaming him with this old rubbery basketball that really shouldn't even be on the court. But he's like throwing it, just beaming it at Fred, and he could barely stand up on his own, let alone take a basketball to the face or the chest, but he played.
Yeah.
And he shot air balls again.
So needless
again,
to say, we were
and again
gay bar playground hoops and engaging with some of the locals who had less than stellar things to say about H-Town. So we were having a field day verbally assaulting Dallas people and then called it a night.
At least it was fun. I honestly didn't want to be the guy to be like, hey, you guys want to go to another. I didn't want to be the guy that looked like an absolute alcoholic. So I was really happy that Fred was the one who suggested it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't happy with him spitting a shot that I bought for him all over my face, sir.
And I don't think he even remembered for most of the rest of the evening that he had done this, except for when we would bring it up.
Oh, he might have forgot. I mean, he was drinking at the airport, wasn't he? Because he was with you guys.
Yeah,
I came late.
Yeah, because he came late. AJ and I got there at the same time, and we grabbed dinner, and we saw Fred walking by. He stopped by and decided to do a liquid dinner. And it just, the festivities proceeded from there.
I love Fred Fowler. We'll always drink together, but damn. Try to consume your whiskey. Do
Uncle
not spit
Fred
it.
Put on a display last
night. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's okay by 4 o'clock.
I would hope he is as well, but I think from what AJ said, he was up early this morning. He was at Culture Map. He was doing some extra work.
Yeah, he was working.
So, yeah. So, bottom line is that he rallied hard and quickly, And he's on the move today, and he's doing a lot of good work for us. So, hey, we're here for you. We're going to have some guests for you along the way, but we've got lots to talk about. And obviously it starts with that game last night that we were all watching on the airplane and in the airport. And hopefully you guys were all glued to the screen as well, trying to gauge your level of concern after what happened last night. Kind of tables turned, and the Rockets, after three really convincing games against the Warriors this season, we're pretty much down the entire game, even though the Warriors were without Kevin Durant. And you and I were talking about just how good Klay Thompson is whenever he wants to be. And he turned it on last night. He seems to turn it up quite a bit against the Rockets.
Yeah. We were talking about the way he shoots the corner three and that the bottom half of his body and how much strength he has. And he doesn't even have to jump.
Right.
Sometimes when he shoots that three. He's an amazing player. He's very, very much an underrated player. I didn't know what you were telling me about him on the plane, about him, you know, caring about winning. Wanting to win, not necessarily wanting to be the guy and the man on a team. And that's huge for a team like the Golden State Warriors, who basically have, what, four or five all-stars? Three superstars?
Five, yeah.
You would think Klay Thompson would be one of the first people to go, maybe go to another team where he's the man. He's already got a couple of rings under his belt. I feel like Kevin Durant would probably be the guy to do that more than Klay Thompson. But it's still cool that he has that winning method. What bothered me last night was the same old poor shot selection by James Harden late in the fourth quarter. Actually, pretty much in the end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter, the shot selections. I know we were depending on him to kind of cut the lead. But at the same time, when you're playing against the Warriors, you need efforts from all five players on the court, not just James Harden. This is not a team where you can just say, all right, James Harden, put this team on your back.
Well, the biggest thing that you were talking about, too, is the fact that when you're playing from behind, when you're 14, 16 points down with 5 minutes or less to play in the game, you can't be wasting possessions dribbling the ball out for 19 seconds and then either relying on hero ball from James Harden or a quick pass late in the shot clock to get someone an open look. You've got to go quickly. You've got to do the Mike D'Antoni offense to a tee to 7 seconds or less. You've got to make a quality shot that you have to get, and then you got to get back and play defense, hoping to get some stops because you had to cut the deficit. Now, because of Chris Paul, not James Harden, they were able to knock off a lot of points in that deficit, make it a close game. I saw the replay we didn't see when we were on the plane. He created the three. He created space.
Right.
Then he created a three-point play, makes it a one-point game. But at that point now, you're worried about timeouts. You're worried about situations.
Are you talking about Chris Paul creating that space?
Yeah, Chris Paul did. Yeah. So, again, these are things that I brought up over and over again that Houston fans are going to have to be aware of. When you get into a seven-game series with a good opponent now, they are going to focus on James Harden, and they are going to be suffocating, and other guys are going to have to beat him.
And you were so right, though, because that call was terrible. Chris Paul went up. He did kind of – he got away with a slight push-off. I don't think it warranted a whistle for, like, an offensive foul. But I don't think – he should have got the foul plus the basket on that particular play. If they called the foul, they would not be within one point.
That's what I was going to say. Here's the thing. If you're not going to call the offensive foul on Chris Paul, then you can't call the and one because the contact was on the elbow way after the shot left his hand.
Exactly.
So either you call both or you call neither. But to not call the first one, give him the second one, they got a bonus. And then, of course, obviously, Golden State does the smart thing. They foul, and Harden only he makes the first, misses the second intentionally because they're down three, and Golden State escapes with a victory. But they needed it. Look, Golden State needed that win more than the Rockets can feel a lot of sorrow about that loss because the Rockets were rolling. They had won all three games against the Warriors. But Golden State needed to make a statement last night, and they did.
Absolutely. So we're live at AT&T Center here. This fight is headlined for the first time by Premier Boxing Champions on Fox Sports pay-per-view. So make sure you get that pay-per-view Saturday, March 16, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Also, tickets for this showdown, which is promoted by TGB Promotions, can be bought at SeatGeek.com.
There you have it. We're just getting started from AT&T Stadium, and you guys are wherever you are. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. It is ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Second segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're coming to you live from AT&T Stadium as we get ready for the big fight on Saturday night. It is Spence. It is Garcia. It is a big one. It is 24-0 versus 39-0, and we are looking forward to hopefully having Mikey Garcia join us real soon right here at AT&T Stadium on Radio Row. It is Nick. It is Joel. Barry's out doing some comedy in San Antonio.
And we got AJ.
AJ is here as well. AJ, we want to bring you in because of the fact that after the Pete Newell big man camp that you were instructing on last night in the backyard of the Grapevine Bar and Grill, I don't know if it's a grill or not, but there was a lot of grilling going on we were talking about in the backyard at the old Crooked Hoop gravel stadium outlook. I mentioned in the first segment the passes that you threw to your partner.
Is that what you do to your broadcast partner? You throw basketballs at him when he's drunk?
I could say peppered him. You tortured him.
That's not even
you
true.
You baited him.
I just passed it to him, and Fred's reaction time wasn't at its best last night. Let's say that.
We were talking about
because
it in the
let's
break.
Be honest. Even when I went, like, at the first couple times it bounced off him and, like, The last time I threw it to him, I basically, like, tossed it in the air, like, you know, like, here you go.
Yeah, like a granny pass or something.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about during the break the fact that when you have... in Houston, Texas, and surrounding areas as we're coming to you live from AT&T Stadium in Dallas as we get ready for Errol Spence Jr. and Mikey Garcia this Saturday night on pay-per-view this March the 16th. It's coming up Saturday night. It's a great card. You need to check it out. And we
looks like we got him in the building.
Yeah, well, Mikey Garcia next.
Mikey Garcia coming up next on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, so we've got that going for us, which is nice. And with AJ, you still being here, waiting on him, wanted to get back to this whole thing with the basketball, too, because the other thing that I noticed is, I mean, we know Fred's a professional in a lot of ways, but his bounce-back capabilities were also mentioned because as, shall we say, comfortable as Fred got last night, he bounced back quick and hard this morning to get right on it, getting right back to business with his sports map, culture map business in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, he was up and running before us.
Yeah.
But that's how Fred works. Fred... he will drink himself into a place where you're thinking there's no way he'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then it's like the night never happened.
So you guys have that show, what, 7 to 9 late hits or whatever like that after? No. Oh, no, you follow us 4 to 7.
Yeah, we're on 4 to 7.
I was just trying to – I know I see you guys in passing sometimes. Yeah. But I was just wondering, how do you guys – when you talk about bounce back, how do you guys bounce back then? Everything's cool when you guys put the mics on at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, of course.
That's crazy. That was just because that was an amazing roller coaster of an evening. And I was like, man, there were so many times I was like, is he going to make it? Is he going to be okay?
He's good. Yeah, that's Fred. That's how he does.
That's fantastic.
Well, at least he made it through the night. We got back home.
Yeah.
It was all good. So it was a fun night.
Absolutely fantastic. We're actually momentarily standing by from Mikey Garcia, so hopefully get him in with us rather quickly, and then we can get the information to you guys because, again, big fight here Saturday night. Mikey Garcia, 39-0, 30 knockouts. So he's going to be here taking on Errol Spence Jr. Also, very surprising, but both guys Cowboy fans.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I know Errol Spence Jr. is a big Mavericks fan. I know that because we were talking about that with him last time, so I mean, he's a Dallas guy, so I mean, would you expect anything else Garcia approaches
Mikey's,
the table?
How are you, sir? Getting in here, getting ready to join us. Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Now, we were just talking about the fact that both of you guys fighting Saturday night, Cowboys fans. Now, I understand someone from Texas being a Cowboys fan, but explain to the people, how does one in California become a Cowboy fan?
Thanks for having me first. Thank you guys. Listen, I'm from Oxnard.
Yep.
You know, I'm from Oxnard, and ever since I was like 6-7 years old, my cousin, Renato, he actually gave me a sweatshirt, you know, with the Cowboys. I still remember the sweatshirt. It had Tasmanian Devil on the Looney Tunes. Taz had the little Cowboy star on his chest, and he was playing with the other tunes there. But he gave me that for my birthday, and I was, like I said, 6-7 years old. And ever since then, I started following the Cowboys. Well, it just so happens that the Cowboys also holding their training,
training
out there in Oxnard. So it's almost like a second home for them too.
Sure.
So that's how the team, you know, affiliates themselves with Oxnard. That's how I affiliate myself with the Cowboys, and I started following them. And I went to some of their training camps, and I came out here to the game. And so I mean, it's just something that, you know, Oxnard has lots of love and lots of fans for the Cowboys.
So how are you feeling? How's the weight cut? How's everything like leading up to the fight? How do you feel?
Oh, I feel good, baby.
Good.
I'm happy. I'm excited. You know, I'm motivated.
Anything different from this camp in terms of the struggle with training and weight cutting?
The main difference was the weight increase, actually. You know,
okay.
I moved up from 135, my previous fight.
Right.
This fight is at 147. So early in training, we did have to gain some weight. We did have to change our training routines. And that's why I did move up to Snack and with Victor Conte for a number of weeks to gain that size. But as far as weight cut, I mean, there's really no weight cut. I'm on weight. You know, I'm healthy. I'm fine. I'm happy. You know, you see me talking. You see me smiling.
Yeah.
That tells you, you know, I'm happy. I'm in good mood.
Which kind of leads to my next question. How do you avoid everything that's said on the internet? Like, do you deal with it? Do you even look at it? Do you look at the odds? Like, do you let those outside factors affect you, and how do you avoid it?
I don't let it affect me. You know, everybody is entitled to their opinion. Everybody can predict. Everybody is an expert, and that's just the way boxing is, and reporters and the media. I know what I got to do. I know what I did already in training. I know everything that I did to prepare myself for the best possible. And, you know, I'm just ready to get it on Saturday night.
And you're talking about motivation. I mean, 39-0, 30 KOs. But when you look at the four-division world champ, you're looking for your fifth division if you win Saturday night. Yes. That's got to be motivation enough for you.
That's more motivation for me. You know, I'm in search of legacy. I'm in search of greatness. You know, I'm daring to be great. That's what everybody keeps, you know, talking and referring to me as. And that's exactly the way I feel. You know, I want to make history. I do want to, you know, win this title to make history. Not many, you know, fighters in the history have accomplished, you know, five divisions. You know, and that's what I'm after. So that's why I chose him. You know, and I could have chosen another route to go and accomplish that, but I wanted the best. I wanted to challenge myself to fighting the best, and Errol Spence is that person, and that's why I'm after him.
We're speaking with Mikey Garcia here at AT&T Center. Check out the fight March 16th live Saturday. Get the tickets on SeatGeek or order the pay-per-view. Now, Mikey, I got to ask, because some fighters have told me this in the past. Do you refrain from sexual intercourse during your training camp? Is that a big deal?
You know, it changes for every fighter. You know, some fighters have different reasons for it. I'll tell you, I'm not, you know.
You don't believe in it?
No, I don't believe in that.
Okay.
But I do believe that it's bad for you if you're up all night constantly, you know, frequently.
Yeah.
You know, staying up night, having sex, you know, and not getting enough rest. I believe you need to get plenty of rest in order to train hard and get in shape. So the sex is not what bothers. It's the rest that you really need to worry about.
I'm always interested, too, in the fact that I love it when you make it a family affair. Talk about how great it is when you go through your training regimen, when you get ready for these big fights and everything like that. But you talk about distractions. We talk about the social media. But it also has to help to have that insulation of having your family around you in so many key roles for you.
Look, when we're in training camp, it's very rigorous, very, very strenuous work. So every once in a while, it is very nice to see the family, see the kids. I have three kids, so it's very important to have that family close by. You know, I have my brother, my dad, my nephew at the gym every day. But the family, the kids, you know, do help, you know, motivate you, inspire you. They bring a smile to your face, make you feel good. And if you're feeling good, you can train better, you know, and that's what it's really about. Old thinking, you know, was separate yourself from family and be in camp secluded. I don't believe in that system. I don't believe in that training because sometimes the fighters get a little depressed, a little lonely.
Right.
You know, with us, my brother, you know, we're family. He understands what it's like to be secluded. He understands that. And that's why we've changed it. And he has so much more success now with his fighters, and I'm having so much success this way.
And we talk about it, too. It's so much in professional sports now. It's not as much. It's always been about the rigorous training, always about the grind. But at the same time, it's about the mind. It's about the relaxation and being able to step away a second to kind of recharge the batteries. It's not just the rest, but like you said, instead of being up in a mountain somewhere where you're totally secluded, and when you have that downtime, you have too much time to think, it always helps to have the family around.
It does. It really does help. You know, you got to be 100%, you know, mentally and physically. And if your mental state, you know, is not 100%, then you won't be able to perform at 100%. Even though you're training hard and pushing hard, your mind also has to be mentally prepared and relaxed and feeling good. So that's what I like about my training with my brother, my family, and having my kids around once in a while is always a plus.
Well, there you have it. You're being called, sir. So we have officially run out of time with Mikey Garcia. But you look good. You seem like you're in good spirits.
Thank you.
Good luck for the fight, man.
Yeah,
catch the pay-per-view March 16th. SeatGeek for tickets.
Thank you
so much for the time, Mikey.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mikey.
Thank
appreciate it. Good luck.
There you have it.
There you have it, man. It should be a good one. And again, on pay-per-view, everything available for you guys. If you aren't going to be in the Dallas area and you still want to catch the fight, catch it on pay-per-view. Nick gave you all those details, and it should be quite an experience. And it's pretty neat experience, too, for two lifelong Cowboy fans to be fighting right here in the middle of AT&T Stadium. The setup, as you tweeted out a picture, and I'll get a picture here during the next break and send it out, but the setting is going to be really, really cool for two fighters.
Super, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not a Cowboys fan, but this is a super cool environment. I mean, the stadium is absolutely beautiful. You cannot knock the stadium. So it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a great environment. Mikey obviously seems like he's in good spirits. So I'm looking forward to interviewing Errol Spence Jr. as well, because he seems to be a guy that's always pumped and ready and smiling. Two guys that seem like they're really prepared. It's going to be an interesting fight.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And like Nick said, we're going to have plenty more guests coming up here from Radio Row in anticipation of this big fight on Saturday night. So we'll cover those as they come along to us. And we kind of adapt along the fly. So
I wonder how him moving up two weight classes is going to affect them. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't expect him to be more drained. I probably should ask AJ, but I don't expect him to be more drained because he's moving up two weight classes. But doesn't necessarily mean it's going to help you. Depending on who you're fighting, but
I just like the stability of him, his camp, his mindset, of the fact that you mentioned, you know, him fluctuating in terms of weight class. But when you talk about the fact that he seems like he's got such an even keel about him, a level head on his shoulders, he's got his family around him to insulate him from a lot of the distractions. And he's wanting to take care of his business. It's not just about that 39-0. It's getting that fifth weight class. It's getting that legacy that he's talking about building. And you know, with this being on pay-per-view and getting more exposure nationally too, it's really nice to see a guy like that that's grounded so much.
Yeah, but boy, these Cowboys fans are everywhere. I mean, we were talking to someone yesterday from New York, Cowboys fan. Mikey Garcia from California, Cowboys fan. They're
Errol
all over.
Spence Jr., Cowboys fan, but he's from Texas. That's, I guess, acceptable. I just appreciate everybody coming to Lambeau Field South anytime that they want to see the Cowboys play. But
I knew you were going to say that when you mentioned it in the car.
Yeah, absolutely, because I never miss an opportunity to say that, because you know the Packers do call this their home away from home, and they just get W's here, and they'll do it again next year. So, but it is what we were talking about when we were pulling in. It seats 100,000 for an NFL game. I mean, that's college environment. But it's done in such a way that it's a luxury environment. College and a lot of the 100,000 seat, the big house at Michigan, for example, it's just old school. It's just straight up and down, nothing but bleachers, none of the amenities. This building has both. It has all the amenities. It has all the seating capacity. You know, you remember now they had the largest NBA All-Star game ever here, where they got between 90 and 100,000. It's hosted Super Bowls. Now it's hosting boxing and other things. And you can understand the extra investment where everything's bigger in Texas for Jerry Jones, because it's paying off with every different event he has in this building.
I'm not going to lie. It'd be nice if some of these TVs were actually turned on, though, so I can watch some of these games. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I know that there's some people that will remain nameless that have a lot of, shall we say, extra juice being injected into some of these games on the basketball court this afternoon and this evening.
That would be one,
to be watching it on a TV screen instead of a telephone.
That would be one AJ Hoffman.
Yeah, yeah. So that, you know, you would think that with the dual titles and all the weight he carries around, he could possibly get some strings pulled to get something other than color bars on the monitors. I was hoping that it was going to be on the center hung. I just thought by second segment, AJ would have had ACC tournament, I don't know, something. on the center hung. But we'll see what we can do as we progress along with the rest of our day.
I could never put money on college basketball. I'm just too stupid. The numbers are just ridiculous with college basketball. I just feel like it's way more, I don't know, for me it's more unpredictable.
I think it's I don't know.
Than the NBA, do you think so?
I think it's more predictable than the NBA on
really?
A game in, game out basis. The schedule isn't as rigorous. You don't have you don't have back to backs. These college kids, when you can contemplate, the most important thing is knowing the best players, the injuries, some of the key variables. But I don't think it's as deep as the NBA, because the NBA is so unpredictable. I mean, let's look at the game last night, and let's look at the last two matchups between the Rockets and the Warriors. You go two games back, you go to the third matchup of the year, Harden's out, everybody thinks, blowout win for Golden State at home, Rockets win. Last night, and I had said this before the game even started last night, I had a feeling it was going to be the flip side of what happened in Game 3. Durant out, Warriors still win.
Yeah.
And then that happens.
Yeah, so. I just feel like there's a little bit more – obviously there's more consistency in rosters in the NBA because, yeah, they're making changes in the offseason and before the trade deadline. But for the most part, your key players are still your key players, and they usually don't move. In college basketball, especially in the one-and-done era, there's just so much movement with players. And what's predictable is the big schools that are going to have good recruiting, like the Dukes and the Kentuckys and, you know, all the big basketball programs. But for the most part, a lot of those players leave. It's just, I don't know. For me, it's just more difficult to predict. But I do know you can just look at numbers and, like, stats. And you can get an idea despite the roster being changed so much in college basketball. I know that because there's a lot of people that bet on college basketball. When we're in Vegas, like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. Like, this, it's just absolutely insane. So it just seems more – I've always been a guy that felt like the NBA is one of the more predictable sports. I know for sure it's more predictable than the NFL. It's most certainly more predictable than MLB.
I mean, baseball is the biggest crapshoot, I think.
I think so, too.
But, I mean, AJ, we can get your opinion on it real quick. But, I mean, betting basketball, college basketball versus pro basketball, I would say next to baseball, NBA basketball is the biggest crapshoot to try and bet.
I don't mess with NBA or Major League Baseball.
That's what I thought.
But that's for betting. In terms of being more predictable, what would you argue is more predictable, basketball or college basketball?
NBA or college?
I mean, I make my most money predicting what's going to happen in college games.
Okay.
And I'm a loser when it comes to betting NBA, so I just don't do it anymore.
That's interesting to me.
I can't make money on it. Here's the deal. When there's so many college games, a book has to make numbers on all these games. You know what I mean? They've got to put up a number for every game. And there's 360-something D1 colleges.
Right.
So
there's only so much time dedicated to each of
these
games.
Right. So sometimes they're just saying, okay, well, this number and this number, use KenPom or whatever, Sagarin, let's throw up a number.
Yeah.
Whereas with the NBA, they've got people who, I mean, they're breaking. It's like the NFL. I mean, those lines are sharp.
Maybe what it is like, maybe I mean more predictable in the sense that, like, we know which teams are probably going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. But you're betting on, like, unders, overs.
On individual games, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a different dynamic.
And essentially, for the NBA games, you need 20 Daryl Moreys, as opposed to 360 games in college basketball. How many of those? How many guys can be dedicated to how many games, doing multiple games, and get all those minute details that are going to affect the game? Because I was telling you, I mentioned the last two Rockets-Warriors games as going completely against what you would have thought when Durant and Harden were out. Go Christmas Day and go Lakers at Golden State, and with all the injuries, and even if you just took the second half when LeBron got hurt too and said, well, the Warriors going to make a comeback? No. Lakers won that game. Yeah. Lakers won at Golden State. NBA, to me, is just the biggest crapshoot next to baseball.
So if you're not betting NBA, you're not betting baseball either, right, AJ? Like, you're not touching that.
I don't touch either one.
I don't see how people do baseball at all.
It's tough. You're betting umpires more than anything. Like, how an umpire works for a pitcher. Like, what kind of umpire it is, what kind of pitchers you've got. That's
insane to me.
It's tough.
That's super unpredictable. How well does Vegas do with baseball? That's what I got to look at.
I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I mean, obviously, they don't have the handle on it that they do football. So, I mean, not as many people are betting those games big. But they keep them on the board for a reason.
That's super interesting.
Costing them money.
I would have never guessed. I mean, I'm obviously not a gambler, but I would have never guessed that it's easier to predict college basketball. But when you really consider the type of bets that you're making, like the overs, the unders, the over-under in the first half, don't you make those type of bets?
Yeah.
Yeah. And NBA, that's really hard to predict.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to continue to roll on from AT&T Stadium here outside Dallas, Texas, with much more. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. By God, we'll let them be.
they respect me, I'ma catch a felony. For real, if you listen, I can get you paid, but not expert.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row at AT&T Stadium for Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry out, Nick in, we appreciate Tyler keeping us on the air back at the station as well as we continue to roll on. AJ's already here. Fred will be here momentarily as we are broadcasting live from Jerry World up until 7 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow night as we get ready for this big Errol Spence Jr. Mikey Garcia fight. Just had Mikey Garcia on. Hope to have Errol Spence in a little while. Looked like we're going to have a little Ray Boom Boom Mancini.
Looks like he's coming up next.
Coming up to join us as well. So that should all be a lot of fun and games and good stuff as we continue to roll on. We were talking a little Rockets in between talking about the big game last night and the fact that we are
Leonard Ellerbe, we'll have him right.
Constantly getting into some. Leonard Ellerbe is going to join us right
CEO
now.
CEO of Mayweather Promotions. How are you, sir?
Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
No problem.
The last time you joined us, you were really talkative about the last fight in Vegas, and that's the cool thing I like about being a part of, you know, being a part of Mayweather Promotions is that you seem like you're open to talk about anything, whether it's controversial or not. So where are you leading up to this fight right now? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I think it's a tremendous fight. With two great fighters who are willing to lay it all on the line. This is going to be a great historic fight come Saturday night.
Where are you in terms of the weight? Mikey Garcia went up two weight classes for this fight. Do you think, is that going to be something that's perhaps too much for Errol Spence Jr.?
For Mikey moving up?
Would it be too much weight for Mike for him to deal with, considering he moved up weight, or is that not a problem?
No, it's not a problem. I mean, you know, what it comes down to is that the moving up weight, fighting the top guy is there, just goes to show you what the intestinal fortitude that you have within wanting to be the best, you know. And sometimes, you know, ideally, he wouldn't have come into this fight with having to move up twice if it was up to him.
Right.
You know, but then sometimes you're being put in that situation. I can recall, we're not taking away from your question, I can recall that Floyd moved up.
He did?
Yeah, Floyd moved up. You know, so it happens, and it's a great opportunity for both guys to be able to cement their legacy.
We're speaking with Leonard Ellerbe here of CEO of Mayweather Promotions. Can you reveal anything about the potential fight between Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao? Do you have anything? Is that in the works? Do we know anything about that?
No.
There's nothing to share?
Nothing to share.
Do you even know if it's likely?
No, it's not likely.
No?
Nope.
It was a massive. The reason why I asked is I thought it was a massive fight, and it's obviously probably the biggest fight in the history of boxing, at least in terms of pay-per-views.
Hey. You know what it is. It's that when you bring the fans, the biggest fights out there, they'll support them.
I was going to say, and what my partner was trying to get at, too, is that everybody has their price. And if the price is right, not to take away from the game show, but that it still could be a possibility?
Which part?
A rematch.
With Floyd and Canelo?
Yeah.
I mean, not Floyd.
Pacquiao.
Floyd. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Floyd has said he was done. And I believe him 100%.
And does he seem like he's in good spirits right now? I mean, he's just doing his own thing?
Always in great spirits.
Good.
I mean, because it's like he's doing what most Americans would love to do. He's I ain't going to say sitting on his behind because he's always working, being creative. You know,
he's got his feet on the hardwood because I see him enjoying a lot of NBA basketball.
Yeah, he does quite a few of that. But anytime you get the opportunity where you know that you're the best and you've proven it time and time and time again, that he gets an opportunity to fight a junior middleweight and really, if it whatever materialized to understand where you're coming from. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. And again, for all the fruits of his labor, for all the years and the hard work put in, you deserve to have the time after this to try to soak, take it all in and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. In Floyd's case, he stepped away from the game, and he said he's done, and I believe him 100%, and I'm happy for him that he's an opportunity to make seven figures in a month. And his birthday, it's like you put him in a situation, give him all these surprises, and it's like he's in a kid in a candy store.
Sure.
You know. Right. So you've never, I mean, I probably asked you this before, but like, who's the next boxer that's going to have the gravitational pull that Floyd Mayweather had? Who do you, in your opinion, who could be that guy?
Gervonta Davis.
Really? Yeah. Does he have the name recognition? And do you think he'll have that buzz that Floyd was able to? Because Floyd's buzz was second to none.
Yeah, well, I think you have not comparing the two, but you have two versions of people who ultimately, between the two of them, will be able to, you know what I'm saying? But mostly Gervonta, because he's being the hometown fighter. But what I love about Gervonta is that he's willing to take on any and everybody and the best.
And Floyd has been undefeated. Does it require an undefeated record to be a superstar? But, I mean, Canelo, he's got a loss on his record, and he seems to be a pretty big star. I mean, is that almost required to be undefeated with the quality opponents, to be that big name, to be that person with gravitational pull?
Yeah, and when it comes down, pay-per-view is everything.
Right.
You know, this is how you rise to the next level. And when it comes to Floyd, he's used these opportunities as had to have a tremendous point with taking this whole pay-per-view thing to the next level. Because you have a lot of these younger guys who are vying for that kind of position, but they must understand that the work that you put in to with marketing, elevating yourself, to be performing with the Laker cheerleaders, you know, at halftime.
Well, when you're the layman watching and looking for something to watch, it obviously adds a little of the sexiness and a lot of the excitement when you look at the big board and say 24-0 versus 39-0 on a Saturday night. If I've got options and things to choose from, that's going to be a lot more enticing than a couple guys with a couple of blemishes.
And no doubt about that. And that's why we play the games.
Sure. Sure. But, and so you, break it down for us. What do you see Saturday night?
Yeah. I see Spence dominating the fight. Earl is no joke.
He's not.
Yeah, Earl is no joke. The media can sit there and try to downplay this and say that, Crawford will be able to, not Crawford.
You talking about Mikey Garcia?
I mean Mikey Garcia. Yeah. I'm off somewhere because somebody just asked me that other question. Mikey Garcia, he'll have a tremendous opportunity to showcase the world where his great talents are. But Earl is just very consistent, you know, from the opening bound. And I just see, envision, you know, it come, you know, down the middle of the rounds.
I'm officially picking Spence. I wouldn't say it in front of Mikey Garcia when he was sitting in front of me about 5 or 10 minutes ago. But
that'd be a smart move on your part.
Yeah, but in terms of Mayweather Promotions, it's kind of expanding. It's doing a bunch of things. Is there anything else that we can look forward to? Are you expanding, doing anything new with Floyd? Not necessarily with Floyd. It could be something, you know, separate from Floyd, too.
Yeah, well, we're consistently putting on our monthly club shows at Sam's Town in Las Vegas. And the whole goal is to keep the younger guys and very busy. And then also give the guys opportunities, you know, like Jay Leon's getting this opportunity, you know, on Saturday night against a very outstanding opponent in David Benavidez.
Right.
But as my job as a promoter, all I can do is provide these guys with the best opportunities.
And then they're going to have to make the best of it. That's basically what they got to do.
Yeah.
Train hard, work hard. When you get that opportunity, seize it.
And I think that he'll make the most of it. You know, and then we see where it goes.
There you have it. Leonard Ellerbe.
Appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you're busy.
No problem. And thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
Thank you so much for answering all our questions. Yep. We really appreciate it.
And I look forward to coming back on as soon as possible.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Enjoy your Leonard Ellerbe.
There you go. Leonard Ellerbe.
CEO of Mayweather Promotions. Thank you so much, sir. Sure. There you have it.
There you go. More hype leading up to the big fight. 24-0 versus 39-0. Saturday night, available on pay-per-view through Fox Sports. Check it out as we're here in Dallas continuing to roll on with the usual suspects. Already done with hour number one. Still 2 hours of the big show still to go. And then the Blitz after us taking you all the way till 7 o'clock. So keep your dial locked right there on ESPN 97.5. Nick in for Barry. AJ here a little early as we continue to see what's on the horizon in terms of guests, but we'll get to a lot more, including the Texans entertaining a free agent and a lot more heading down the line. So we'll take a quick break here and be back in just a matter of mere moments right here on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.